All right. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for coming. It's good to be back home. Want to share from Psalm. So if you could open your Bibles to Psalm. Psalm 16. Psalm 16. Psalm 16, we'll read the whole psalm, but I want to focus on one verse. Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good beside you. As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who have bartered for another God will be multiplied. I shall not pour out their drink offerings of blood. Nor will I take their names upon my lips. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. I wonder if there's an underlying belief that God wants us to be happy. I think most of us think that it is God's objective that he wants us to be happy. But as we go through scriptures, I want to focus on verse 11. In your presence is fullness of joy. And as we go through scriptures, if you do a study of that word joy, you begin to find out and realize that maybe God's goal in life is not for us to be happy. That his goal is not for us to be successful. Maybe it is for us to be filled with joy. Maybe it's that God wants us to understand his presence, and in his presence is fullness of joy. As you know, in Galatians 5:22, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. In other words, that's evidence of his Holy Spirit. In the fullness of his Spirit, there will be joy. Now, it's easy for us to mistake happiness with joy because we want to be happy, and so we strive to be happy and things like this. But we can't mistake happiness for joy. Happiness is determined by what's happening. Happiness is determined by what is happening. In other words, if good things are happening, then we will be happy. If bad things are happening, then we will be sad. Or we'll be stressed or upset, or things like that. And so, when we pursue happiness, we pursue good circumstances. But the Bible doesn't teach us to pursue happiness. It tells us to be filled with joy. And if you don't have to turn there, but if you remember in John 15, in the whole remain in me and I in you, or in the NASB, abide in me and I in you, and you will bear fruit and all these things. And the interesting thing is in verse 11 of that whole remain in me, abide in me discourse is in the end, in verse 11, it says, I've told you all this so that my joy may be in you. You can go back and look at that later. I've told you, you know, abide in me, remain in me. You know, this is my commandments that you love one another. And I've told you all this in verse 11 of John 15. He says, I've told you all this because I want my joy to be in you. I want my joy to be in you and that your joy may be complete. In other words, that I want my joy to be in you and I want it to be made full. I want the fullness of my joy to be in you. And so it's clear that one of Jesus' goals for his disciples was that I want my joy to be in you. And here we have in Psalms, in your presence is fullness of joy. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. There's this theme throughout scriptures that Jesus, God the Father, wants his joy to be in us that is not based on our circumstances or what is happening around us. So many times as believers, our pursuit is happiness. instead of pursuing God. Right? We just try to substitute that word. Oh, you know, I am pursuing God, but in reality, we're actually trying to pursue happiness or pain avoidance. But the scripture is very clear that there's a difference between joy. In the Bible, about 330 times is the word joy or rejoicing mentioned. And only about 25 times is the word happiness or that idea of happiness mentioned. And so there's a huge contrast between the scriptures wanting to declare about God's joy 330 times versus his happiness only 25 times. And you can see that the priority is not happiness. But God wants us to feel and experience the fullness of his joy. The Hebrew word for joy means to leap or to spin around with pleasure. The New Testament translation is gladness, bliss, and celebration, and things like this. And as if we had more time, I would unpack this, but we got to understand that joy is a result of a process and not a destination. That we don't get to this place of joy, but as we are walking with Christ, as we are in this journey with Christ, joy is a result of a process. Many of us treat happiness like it's a destination. You know, it's like now we've arrived, we're happy, but now what? You know, like in sports, we've won a championship, the pinnacle of what you're playing for. Now what? And so we've got to understand that joy is not a destination, it is a result of a process. And Paul and Silas understood this when they were in prison. Then the scriptures say they were singing praises to God, and they were filled with joy that it's not because they were in prison, it's not a destination, that this joy that they felt from the Lord was a process that they were going over. If we look at Zephaniah chapter 3, we know it very well. The Lord, your God, is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice, there's that word again, over you with singing. That God rejoices over us, that he's filled with joy for us, that he is singing over us, that he is taking great delight in us. And there's so many passages of the Lord being filled with joy over us and filled with delight over us. This is his characteristic. This is a part of who he is, that when we are filled with his presence, we will be filled with joy. And so I would maybe submit to you that the definition of joy is the evidence of God's presence in your life. The evidence of God's presence in your life. The times we can be discouraged, we can be struggling, we can be confused. And that's when I need to ask the Lord, God, in your presence is fullness of joy. And it causes me to want his presence even more because my happenings, my surroundings are falling apart. And I need joy. In Nehemiah 8:10, that's exactly what Nehemiah discovered, that the joy of the Lord can be your strength. That even though you're going through just a confusing time, just going through difficult stresses and uncertainty, even though you're going through trauma and tragedy, it is the joy of the Lord that can continually sustain you. It is the joy of the Lord that can be your strength. And we've got to understand that this joy that we feel is not circumstantial, but it's relational. It's a relational thing, that you experience joy not because of your circumstances, but out of relationship with the presence of God and relationship with others. It's easy to understand this, that when you are in relationship with somebody, there's great joy. Joy is not equal to having no problems, but joy is deep-rooted in understanding what God has done for us and how God feels about us. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4, in all our troubles, my joy knows no bounds. And in James 1, 2, he says this, he says, consider it pure joy, my brethren, when you face trials of any kinds. Interesting combination. Consider it pure joy when you face trials and problems of any kind. And so there's this theme of joy in the midst of trials. There's this theme of joy in the midst of difficulties. There's this theme throughout Scripture about that. And finally, in this huge pinnacle, in this apex, John chapter 15, Jesus says this the night before he's going to the cross, and he says that I want my joy to be complete. In other words, one of the few last things that he says before he goes through the torture, before he goes to the cross, is that, listen, you know, I know what's happening to me tomorrow. I know what's happening in my future. I know what I'm going to go through. I know the problems and the difficulties that I have to face. But this is what I want you to understand, disciples. I want you to know, and I've said all of these things. I've spent 3 years with you. I want you to understand this. I've said this so that my joy can be in you and that it would be fulfilled and completed, filled. And then the scripture says in Hebrews 12, that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He goes to the cross, and he goes first with joy, that it was a joyful thing for him. And for the longest time that, you know, I couldn't understand it, and I can't even say right now that I fully comprehend it now. But what I felt the Spirit speaking to me about that passage is this, is that you can feel joy because Christ did not go to the cross for himself. He went to the cross for others. He went to the cross for the salvation of the world. He went to the cross not because of himself, not for himself, but for others. And there's incredible joy when your focus is not on yourself, when your focus is on others. Isn't that not true? That when you serve one another, when you serve someone else, when you do things for other people, when you give to other people, there's going to be a joy that comes in your heart. Around Christmas time, of course, you know, we are in the practice of exchanging gifts, you know, hopefully most of us will feel joy giving to someone you love. Definitely not because of the price tag. Definitely not because of how cheap or expensive it is, because most times it is more expensive than we want to. But there's a joy because you're giving it to them, because the focus is not yourself, but because the focus is others. And so Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. I believe it is possible to be filled with joy in the midst of our circumstances, because we know that our lives are in the hands of a master creator. In Philippians, he says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. That God is doing a work in you, that he's going to be faithful to complete that in you. And because we have that understanding, that we can be filled with joy, knowing that the work that God is doing is going to be completed. It's going to be completed. My intent this morning is that we would be able to meditate on this psalm, and that we would not seek happiness. For most of us in our lives, that is sort of the focus of our life. We work hard because we want to be happy. We work hard because we want our families to be happy. We do things because we are striving for happiness, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I wonder if God's goal for our lives is happiness, or is it to be filled with joy? See, because we can strive to be happy. We can pursue our lives to be happy. But if you really break it down, all of those things can be gone in an instant. Because all of those things are based on setting up our lives so that our circumstances is suffering-free, pain-free. But I think the greater goal that God wants for us is that in the midst of our suffering, that we can be filled with his presence and be filled with unending joy. And God's goal for us is to be filled with that joy to its fullness. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. And let's ask the Lord, as our devotional this morning, is to be filled with his presence. And in His presence there is fullness of joy. And may our pursuit be not of happiness, but may our pursuit be filled with joy. For even then, the Apostle Paul says, I've learned to be content in any circumstance, whether in plenty or in want. Because he knows that the fullness of joy is what it's all about. Before we sing the song, can we just invite the Holy Spirit and ask God for his presence? Say, God, I want your presence in my life. May you turn my tears into fullness of joy. We just came back from a conference and some retreats. And as God was blessing people and touching people, many would come up to us crying, bawling, explaining their circumstance, explaining their situation, explaining how difficult it's been. But they were touched by the presence of God. And as they are crying, there's smiles on their faces, so thankful, so filled with joy. I've seen it with my eyes. I've experienced it myself, that even in our tragedy, when God's presence touches your heart, you are filled with joy. Even now, whatever you're going through, ask the Lord for his presence. Ask the Lord to be filled with his joy. Let's do that.
I love your presence. I love you, Jesus. I love your presence.
Holy Spirit, we ask for your presence in this place. Fill our hearts with your presence and your joy. God, we submit and lay down our burdens. We lay down whatever we have to do today. And God, we want your joy to go before us. Hallelujah. And now as we pray, let's give ourselves to others. Let's intercede for our mission focus this morning. And may there be great joy as we pray and participate in what God is doing in China. Let's pray for, first of all, let's pray for Pastor Sam Kim, who's started just his gatherings. And let's ask God to give him wisdom and just anointing. And let his ministry just be a lighthouse to Beijing. Let's lift them up. Let's pray for the Chong family. Let's pray for Matt and Nate's parents. Let's pray for Stephen, Janine, and Leanne Chang. Let's pray for Chichihar kids in the orphanage there. And so just let's lift up China and just let's ask God to really just do an incredible work. Let's pray for breakthroughs and in the government. And so let's just lift up China right now. Let's pray for our SP pastoral staff. Let's pray for our elder board and missions committee. Let's ask God to give us wisdom as we move the church forward and as we fulfill God's plans for Hong Kong. Let's just lift up our staff, elder board, and missions committee right now. Let's lift up Family Ministry for Pastor Salomon and his wife, and let's ask the Lord to really increase them and bless them. Let's pray for the Korean church. Ask God to use them in a powerful way for the Korean community here in Hong Kong. And so let's lift up those ministries right now. finally, let's pray for our house churches. I believe it's last week this week. And let's ask God to really just close this chapter of house churches on just a really powerful note. And so let's pray for Lan Kwai Fong, OP, Carborside, Seymour, and Star Street. And just let's lift up our just incredible season of house churches. And let's pray for our leaders. Let's pray. Close us as after we finish, want to give you an opportunity to just pray on your own and seek the Lord. And so, Father, we just want your presence here. We want your presence in our lives, God. Forgive us. We repent, God, of forgetting to invite your presence in our lives each and every day. Lord, we submit to you this morning all our circumstances. We submit to you all of our grief. We submit to you all of our stress. We submit to you all of our difficulties. We submit to you all of our anticipation of what will happen and all the fear that we have. We submit that to you, and God, we want your presence. We want to be filled with your joy. May we go forth, God, walking in your joy today. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Pray for a great day, and go ahead and spend some time praying on your own and seeking the Lord. Have a great time in the Lord today.